Thank you.
All right, good morning, everyone. What time does the 9:15 adult Bible study start? I forget. You've heard the supposed difference between cultures. Are you time-oriented or are you people-oriented? Well, I am both, because I am time-oriented to honor people's time. Well, good morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this cold winter's day. We just thank you for this Advent season. And as we study some important topics, help us to understand some of the just deeper roots of what's going on in the world, especially in the Middle East. Bless our time. May we hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and you can be turning to Revelation chapter 12. It's on page 1529. But if we've been talking about the history of the anti-Semitic and the conflicts and Satan's war against the seed. Remember, Genesis 3:15 is where it all begins. So the war against the seed, not only against the ultimate seed, Jesus, but the lineage of the Messiah, the Jewish people. And so Satan has had it out for the Jewish people, and indeed any godly people that stand for ultimately Christ of the church, but we're specifically talking about Israel. So the history, and then we'll probably won't get to it quite today again, sorry, but some of the issues. So we've looked at some of the conflicts. We looked in the Bible. You guys mentioned, you know, a lot of examples in the Bible. Esther, the slaughter of the innocents in Bethlehem. So it's a lot of biblical examples. Then last time, I apologize. I'm a history guy and I like war history. So I gave you way too many maps and, you know, a lot of maps, not much scripture, but all the wars, the intifadas, all the things that have gone on to the Jewish people, especially in the 20th century. Now today, we're going to take a look at history pre-written. That's what we believe prophecy is, don't we? So we're going to look at future events, I believe, that are ordained by God. So Revelation 12. So first of all, Revelation 11 in chapter verse 15. We look at the seventh trumpet. Now this is, I don't want to get into this too much, but understanding Revelation, most people think it's pretty difficult. And one of the keys is to understand when the clock is running and when it's apparent, what's called a parenthetical, where the timeline stops and then we look back at what's been happening throughout the ages or whatever. And when you can recognize that, and then there are some Greek language clues sometimes, but so Revelation 11:15 to 19 is the seventh trumpet. So those are some of those great plagues during the tribulation time. So now 12:1 all the way until we get to chapter 16 is part of what is a parenthetical. So you know, if you're not squeezing that in a timeline, that's sort of a big picture look, what's been going on, in this case, since the beginning. So, Revelation chapter 12. First of all, we're going to see several characters, but the woman. Oh, let me got one. You know what November 30th was? It was the day of remembrance for the 850,000 refugees that when Israel was founded, 850,000 Jews were kicked out of the Arab countries and told to go to Israel. Israel begged The Arabs, no, stay in Israel. But the Arab countries said, no, leave Israel during their war for independence. And we promise you'll get your land back. We'll look at that more when we talk about the land and the people. But Israel wanted multicultural, wanted, you know, there are Arabs, there are quote-unquote Palestinians in the Israeli Knesset, which is their parliament. But on November 30th, 850,000 Jews, like the Holocaust, you know, when they were kicked out of Europe during the war for independence, all the Arab countries kicked out the Jews, and Israel, of course, welcomed them back. So that's, you know, Israel protects its own people. Okay, Revelation 12, the woman. Follow along with me. Now a great sign. This will be the first sign. Signs are, and I don't want to get too involved in this. A great sign, the first of seven through the rest of, up until chapter 19, appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Who do you think that is? Georgia, would you read Genesis 37, 9 through 11, please? But a sign. So a sign is uses symbolic language, but easy for under. A sign points to something real. So a lot of mistakes, I think, with Revelation is people spiritualize the text so much. Well, then, of course, it's going to be hard to understand. So there's a sign that points to something, you know, a woman, the sun, the moon, garland of 12 stars. Georgia?
Now he had still another dream and related it to his brothers and said, whoa, I have had still another dream. Behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. He related it to his father and to his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream that you have? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow ourselves down before you to the ground? His brothers were jealous of him.
So who's that talking about? Remember snotty little Joseph? You know, that, so that is a picture of Israel. Okay, so verse 2. Then being with child, the woman cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. Scott, would you read Isaiah 26, 16 and 17. Oh, I'm sorry. 16 and 17. 17 and 18, sorry.
17.
Yeah.
Isaiah 26, 17 and 18. As a woman with child is in pain and cries out in her pangs when she draws near the time of her delivery, so have we been in your sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not accomplished any deliverance in here, nor have the inhabitants of the world fallen.
Okay, so you get that? The idea of Israel giving birth, and in travails and pain. So a lot of what happened to Israel throughout history, the travails of motherhood. And you know, ladies, you know, we men really go through that with you guys. Childbirth, we feel your pain. Just want you to know. Verse 3, and another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, Israel, remember, who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she bore a male child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. So notice that, you know, Israel, but then sort of pointing to little, you know, not only Israel, but specifically, you know, now we can also narrow that down to a male charge, a male son who is the ultimate child of Israel, who would be the Messiah, Jesus. And she bore a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. That's Psalm 2. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So you get the time there, and you'll see that that's 3.5 years. But you're going to see that many days, 42 months, 3.5 years. That time frame is pretty important in the book of Revelation. So the war between the red dragon, who do you suppose that is? And see, and there's a tie-in to that serpent of old in the Garden of Eden, the serpent. So now, you know, so you wonder when you see cartoons of the, you know, and cartoons, secular media today, dragon, Satan, you know, has horns and a pitchfork and a red tail. That's actually sort of accurate. He appears as a dragon, a fiery red dragon. You know, remember now, this is symbolic language pointing at something real. So, you know, I'm not going to go into colors and descriptions, but all those things sort of have sort of what make the point very poetically. So it's very evocative language. You know, instead of saying, yeah, and then as Satan tried to snuff out Israel. Now this is, you know, very symbolic language. And that's, once again, in Revelation, that sometimes throws people off. You just have to remember, signs point to something. You know, we don't worship the sign, but the sign points to the coming Messiah or whatever. So some of those descriptions, you know, seven heads, diadems, you know, those are pictures of power. And if you know Daniel, different empires throughout history, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, so empires leading up to that final empire of ultimately the Antichrist. You know, so there's power behind the beast. And so the woman then is, let me make sure. Okay, Kelvin, would you read, just reinforce Genesis 3, 14 and 15. You know, so specifically Israel is, you know, considered a male child in general, but then specifically, who is the male child? We've already answered it, but just to go back to the importance of the seed. Okay, so that goes back, remember the seed, small s seed, Israel, big S in some of our translations, you know, we're sort of forcing the interpretation, but appropriate in that big S seed is ultimately the Messiah. And so all those heads and diadems, look down at chapter 13, verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. So now this is describing another, the beast. And just to make it simple for the sake of today, so you have Satan, the dragon, Satan, the beast, that's the Antichrist, and then later you will meet a guy named the false prophet. So Satan's unholy trinity, Satan, his incarnate beast, and then his false prophet, you know, the speaking. So, you know, Satan is a great deceiver and a great imitator of what is good. Okay, so then, we go from the woman. So that's describing Israel past the beginning of Israel, and of course then the ultimate birth of the Messiah, and a conflict between Satan and the Jewish people and the Messiah. You know, that's sort of the what is called sometimes the cosmic. The cosmic war, you know, when we think of good versus evil throughout all history. Well, that's sort of talking about that in a very evocative language. So then now we look at the war in heaven. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, the dragon. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. And actually, I have the New King James. There's a lot of textual differences, especially in the book of Revelation. So if you have New King James or King James, you'll have a lot of these words. Some of your other translations will be a little different. And no place was found for them in heaven any longer. Verse 9, so the great dragon, Satan, was cast out, that serpent of old, there he is, called the devil and Satan. So if you're wondering, very specific, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, Satan, who accused them before our God, day and night, has been cast down. That's from Zechariah, or look at Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 11, and they overcame him, the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. So, you know, just a little point. You know, Satan has always been a deceiver. In fact, that's what the word devils in Greek sort of means, out of slander and a deceiver, the accuser of the brethren. Little Satanology for you. We study right now. I believe Satan has access to heaven to be the accuser of the brethren. Way back when, you know, when he talks about this fall, the ultimate fall, when Satan rebelled, way back in history, before the Garden of Eden, you know, Satan was the highest angel, highest angel, but he got a little proud of that, and so he fell. And it talks about a third of the angels followed him and became what we would know as demons. So Satan and his demons have been alive and not well for all of history. But he still has access to heaven. Read the book of Job, who appears before God to accuse Job. Now this is talking about then, sometime in the future, after this war in heaven with Michael. He's the only named archangel. His name means who is like God. Michael is, you know, a very powerful angel, not God. So if you guys like to watch Touched by an Angel, be careful you don't worship angels. I got a story about that, but I won't. But so Michael, you know, very powerful, and good angels fought Satan and his demons, or will fight them, and he will be cast out of heaven for good. So he no longer will have access to heaven. But what does it say? Where's Satan going? He's going to earth. And so that's why, you know, rejoice, heaven. We no longer have the accuser in heaven appearing at the judgment, you know, the bar, the courtroom. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because there's going to be a time of great tribulation. So the war in heaven then. Let me make sure I'm keeping up. Okay, so then after that, that occurs, I believe, sometime in the future. You know, because right now, Satan's up there accusing me every day, you know, of, you know, where I fall short. And who's my defense lawyer? We also have an advocate in heaven, Jesus Christ the righteous. That should, last week I think that choked me up, but that is a good step. I mean, think about that. Jesus is your defense lawyer against the true accusations of the prosecuting attorney, Satan. And what a, you know, colorful picture. Okay, so now Satan, so this did not happen 65 million years ago. No, but that's supposed to picture Satan's fall, you know, that he's cast out of heaven. Now he's coming down to do his worst. And why? Because he, you know, and Satan knows the Bible better than we do. And so the idea of he knows he's only got a short time to do whatever damage he can. So the war on earth, beginning in verse 13. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman. Who's the woman? Okay, so, you know, there's satanic persecution of Israel. And this is talking future, especially so in an extreme persecution. We've looked at persecution all throughout history. This is now we're going to kick it up a notch to persecute Israel. Persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Who's that? The Messiah, Jewish Messiah, Genesis 3:15. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. How long is that? 3.5 years. And, you know, a year, 2 years, and a half year from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like, pay attention to similes. So it's a flood, like a flood, which in the Old Testament floods were symbolic of destruction, persecution, war. You know, an enemy floods over into your country. Like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. So you get in the picture. I mean, very, very colorful language, but God, you know, some God protects his people using his creation. So supernatural, demonic and satanic persecution, but supernatural preservation, especially in the future. I believe, you know, like we looked at all those wars last, I believe God has supernaturally provided protection throughout history, but especially in the future. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. You know, imagine not liking the Jewish people. I wonder how that could go. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. So who would be offspring of from the root of of Judaism, Jewish faith, Christianity. You know, God. The answer is Jesus. Sounds like a squirrel, but it's Jesus. You know, from the root of the apostles and prophets comes the church. So we, the church especially, ought to appreciate and, you know, be grateful and understand the Jewish people. Now, that's, you know, not universal. You know, there are, most of Israel is very secular, but this is where you really want to get me hot. One of my hot buttons is when the church starts saying we replaced Israel. Where's the lightning? Please don't ever say that around me. You'll get more of a speech than you usually do. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God. You know, so there, you know, by extension, should Christians obey God? You bet. And have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So now that's making it very explicit. Do you have the testimony of Jesus Christ in your life? In other words, have you trusted him for salvation? I have some little notes here that I've given you more than you wanted, but yeah, so that cosmic war, sometimes you'll hear me use the phrase, the conflict of the ages. You know, God's purpose, God's creation, God good against sin. And one of the personages who stands behind sin is Satan. So evil. So good versus evil, folks. In very simple way to look at the world, which team are we representing? And I hope by now you recognize and appreciate even more, you know, that anti-Semitism, we're specifically talking about Hamas, you know, that's the bad team. And a lot of times these people, they hate Israel and they don't even know why. You know, so it's not that they're innocent. No, that's bad no matter what. But now we understand the depth. You know, it's not just that those mean Jews took our land. We'll talk about that next week. It's deeper and a spiritual problem. Okay, Army, I'll open up for questions. So, you know, the war on Earth. What are some things you see on Earth that would be part of this war? Ongoing. Terrorist attacks. All those wars against Israel.
The Holocaust.
All of those things, especially we talked about. But, I mean, Harvard University. Ridiculous. I'm glad donors are no longer starting out to give their money. That is just so ridiculous. But, yeah, you know, people. The banality of, yeah, we hate the Jews. Do you even know a Jewish person? No, but I hate them. No, that's sort of that irrational, but I know where it's coming from. Doesn't excuse them, but we need to be clear on that. You know, and that's when I, you know, I, no surprise here, but I tend to, you know, watch or listen to conservative news outlets, you know, pretty much. They get it right, but even they, I realize, you're so close down here, but you don't get this. And of course, they can't say this, you know, on secular TV, because, you know, the separation of church and state, that is in the Constitution, you know. Pam, would you read 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 5?
Yeah. for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer.
Are you done? You have a questioning like prayer? You're up talking. You're supposed to pray.
Prayer. Sanctified by the word of God
in
prayer.
Prayer. Prayer. Prayer is important. Okay, let me just for your edification, let me give you a couple names that say throughout Scripture. And think of names describe, in the Bible especially, describe character. Think of Jacob. His name means supplanter. You know, he's deceitful, but yet God chose Jacob. Okay, names of Satan. And I won't give you the verses, but the accuser, Beelzebub. You ever heard that? Yeah. Anybody ever read the Lord replies? What do you think that's based on? Belial. The devil, the dragon, the evil one, the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the roaring lion, the ruler of this world, Satan, the serpent of old, the tempter, and then, of course, the accuser of the brethren. But notice in the last verses we read, God's protection. You know, that's specifically talking about, I believe, a yet future supernatural protection. But God's, even now, you know, sort of by application for God's people, God protects us now from a lot more than we understand. You know, that's, Georgia, would you read loudly and put the emphasis on the right syllable of those, please? Matthew 24, verses 3 through 26. So, describing this time, Jesus talked about it in what is called the Olivet Discourse.
Matthew 24, verse 3.
Do
you want me to read all the way, or just...
All the way.
Oh. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives...
Jesus. Context.
The disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming?
When?
And
what?
The end of the age." And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, you will understand. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things out that are in his house. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that your plight will not be in the winter or on the Sabbath.
Jews.
For then there will be a great tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days have been cut short, no life will have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then, if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here is Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. So, if they say to you, 'Behold, he is in the wilderness,' do not go out. Or, 'Behold, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe them."
All right, so that's called the Olivet Discourse. But did you notice just some of the flee to the wilderness protection on the Sabbath. So specifically, Jesus is teaching his Jewish disciples. And so it has specifically a more Jewish context, you know, then by extension, you know, believers, protection. But this is the Olivet Discourse, I believe, MSA, meaning significant application. The context is Jesus is teaching about what the disciples asked. What were the three questions? When will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming? And what will be the end of the age? So they wanted to know sort of the immediate, the future on earth. And so Jesus is teaching Jewish disciples specifically about what is yet to happen. And that's then alluded to in Revelation 12. You know, that's some really interesting stuff. And the abomination of desolation, you know, is there going to be another one? I believe so. Was there a first one, what's called a type, you know, the sort of the small abomination? Then the Antichrist will have the big one. Yes, Daniel 9:27, under Antiochus Epiphanes, the Assyrian ruler, the Roman Emperor Hadrian, put the altar statue of Zeus. So there have been many small abomination of desolation, but one day there will be the capital A abomination of desolation. So that was a little more than you wanted, probably just for the Revelation 12. Any questions? Comments, questions? Yes, ma'am. Yes and no. How's that? No, but they knew something was different about Jesus. But they, until the resurrection, they still had doubts. They still had, we would say, sinful, you know, misunderstandings of who Jesus is. Just like, you know, David was a good guy, King David, a man after God's own heart. But look at the evil he did. So sin is worse than we think it is. And so Jesus is teaching these guys. They're getting the inkling. And that's why Peter's confession of faith, even how much, you know, did he really understand? But he said the right words when Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" And he said, "You are the Christ," which, you know, that's not his last name. That's the Greek word for "you are the Mashiach," you are the Messiah. And so, and then there was misunderstandings about what the ultimate Messiah is. We're going to talk about that in the sermon today a little bit. The messianic hope. But so, yes, they knew he was, you know, he was their view. You know, they were almost there. But then once after the resurrection, you know, then it became clear. So, bam. See, that's the misunderstanding. They had an understanding of the Messiah. Was it last week we talked about prophet, priest, king? You know, so they had, we'll say, very secular views, but like Moses in, was that Deuteronomy 13, said there will be coming a prophet. There's no prophet greater than Moses. If you talk to a Jewish person today, Judaism, the false religion, they will say, yeah, Moses is the greatest prophet. Well, Jesus was that greater prophet. So they had a sort of a, in fact, in Revelation, it's funny, Elijah and Moses appear in Revelation. That's going to speak to the Jewish people because they think that Elijah was going to come back. Remember John the Baptist? Some say you were Elijah, are you? And, you know, that whole train of thought. And then Moses, Jesus, we know him as God incarnate, who is the greatest prophet, priest, king. prophet, priest, king. Those are what are called types. So in the Old Testament, there are a lot of things that point towards, you know, here's David, but then keep going into the future, and you see greater David's greater son. So, come and kick out the Romans. They had a very high view, not God the Son. Can you imagine a normal Jewish person claiming that Jesus is God? You know, they were very monotheistic in a misunderstanding. Good question. Oh, God calls. Any final questions? Got to introduce some new victims. And then if Kelvin and Jen can make it, I think these new victims can make it. So thank you for attention. Maybe more than one revelation is a fascinating book. So just pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the apocalypse, revelation. And we just thank you that you have revealed to us and given us history, prove it, help us to understand it, and then apply it to our lives now, not just, you know, being tickled, have our ears tickled by promise. Be with us as we go in the main service for our first Sunday of Advent, as we watch for the coming of the Messiah with hopeful expectation of the candle will remind us. Give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.